Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Good morning, Colorado. Welcome to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on FM 104.3 The Fan. But contrary to that fine introduction, I am not Terry Wickstrom. I'm Chad LaChance, and once again, I've been given the keys to the studio to fill in while Terry's away and traveling, so we would like to wish Terry safe travels. I'm not even sure where he is, but I'm sure he's off chasing fish somewhere. But we've got a really busy show lined up on a beautiful sunny morning here in Colorado. Lots of snow, lots of sunshine, and a great day to spend the first part of the morning maybe indoors while it warms up just a touch and then get outdoors and see what's out there. But we've got the usual segments with Colorado Parks and Wildlife, some actually really interesting things going on there. We're going to go forward from there in the second half of the hour and talk a little bit about some of the preseason preparation for big game hunting. But before we get into all that stuff, we want to talk to a guy who's in a little warmer spot in the universe and who's quickly becoming a good friend of mine these days and somebody you may have seen on Fishful Thinker Television here lately in Denver. He's been on my show a couple times and joining us from Eufaula, Alabama, a little bit warmer, although not necessarily drier. We have Major League Fishing Pro, former Bass Elite Series angler Josh Bertrand. Good morning, Josh.
What's going on, Chad? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. It's all good. And you're calling in from Alabama. Now, for folks that are bass fishing fans, you are actually fishing a Major League Fishing event right now. And I believe you were on the water yesterday. And not only were you on the water yesterday, but you smoked them pretty good. Caught a largemouth, looked like pushing 6¾ pounds. Put yourself in second place. It's the first day of the first tournament of the year. You got to feel pretty good about that.
100%. Yeah, and I heard you say in the intro that, you know, I'm somewhere a little warmer than Colorado, and it should be a lot warmer, but it is just a little warmer, man. We're dealing with some quite the cold blast for this part of the country, and, yeah, I was thrilled to just go out and have a solid day yesterday because it's really tough to catch these southern Florida strain fish when it's cold out. They hate it. You know, 30, 40, 50 degrees to them may as well be ice to fish out where you live.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm a Florida native myself, and that's the biggest thing I dread. People talk about going to Florida or going to fish Florida strains. The cold weather and Florida strain fish do not go together. They don't like cloud cover even really as much as some other bass. And I know you've had serious rain. I've been kind of watching you on social media, and you've had some serious rain going on there. How much has that affected your fish?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it has a lot, you know. So this lake is not a crystal clear lake like what we're used to dealing with out west where you do the show. It's generally a lake that's got a little stain to it, but, I mean, we've had so much rain that the water came up 2 feet overnight the night before yesterday, and it's come up another 6 inches in the last 24 hours. So it's come up a lot, man. It's 2.5 feet above normal pool. And it's really muddy. So, you know, muddy water is always, it's not always the worst thing, but cold muddy water is bad. And then freshly muddied water is not a good thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
We're dealing with both.
Yeah, freshly muddied water, especially if that rain was cold. You know, and I've talked to a bajillion pro bass guys like yourself over the years, and all of them will tell you the thing they dread the most is cold muddy water. You know, and that's not good. But, you know, it speaks a little bit to what it takes to be a professional-level bass guy. And that's really what I kind of want to talk about. Now, you've been a pro for what amounts to 12 years, almost half of your life. You're a young guy. I still think of you as an up-and-comer, although 12 years as a pro is hard to qualify as an up-and-comer. But you've won $100,000 in one event. You almost won Anglers of the Year a couple of years ago. It seems to me that you've got to have serious diversity. And there's a lot of guys that think, oh, I could be a bass pro, especially young guys these days. They do good in a club tournament or a bunch of club tournaments, and they think I could be a pro. But can you get in your truck and drive from Arizona to Lake Eufaula, Alabama, and then deal with 2.5 feet of rising muddy water on a giant lake against the best in the country and still put yourself in second place? And don't you think that diversity is one of the things that defines a modern pro these days? Don't you think that that's a key thing, is the diversity to be able to fish all different kinds of water?
Well, Chad, you sure know how to make a guy feel good, dude. Thanks for pumping me up, man, even though I'm not worthy of that. But, yeah, it definitely – when you fish all over the country, you run into all kinds of different stuff. And, you know, no matter what, you know, you grew up fishing one region, and you're going to be really well-versed in that style of fishing in whatever region you're from. But there's a learning curve, and, you know, anyone's capable to do this for a living, but you've got to go through that learning curve. No one's going to instantly know how to handle different types of conditions in different parts of the country, because there are so many variables, right? I mean, every region's got different types of grasses, different types of bait fish. Sometimes you're dealing with tides, and you just can't be a master at all that stuff right away. So it takes time, and, you know, one thing when I was, like, starting out was a lot of times I would try to relate different bodies of water to my home lakes, and very rarely would it work. I usually would end up struggling if I, you know, would put you know, find myself on a body of water and be like, well, what can I compare this to back home? Okay, well, let me fish it like I would back home, and I would end up crashing and burning. You know, everywhere you go is different, and you know, it's, you always want to put your own flavor onto it, but, you know, one thing is sometimes you just have to fish like the locals fish. I mean, it, you know, I'm from Arizona, and in these situations, I'm not fishing Arizona techniques. I'm not doing anything I would have done in Arizona. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, I think that's for sure. And fishing what the locals do, there's a reason that the locals evolve into those things. And, you know, and yep. These days, especially in the neck of the woods where you are now in Alabama, even some of the locals are straight up hammers, and they can catch them on those bodies of water for real. But having said that, statistically speaking, locals don't generally win in big money bass tournaments. And my feeling on that, and I'll see what your thoughts are on this, is that locals, they fish a little bit too many memories, where you need a little bit of local knowledge, but you also need an open mind. And how important is that for you as a pro to fish with an open mind? I mean, it's probably been a while since you were fishing in Alabama. You can't go back to memories. The water's rising. The water's cold. You know, it's maybe a different season or a different lake in Alabama. How much of it is show up with a completely open mind and just fish by the seat of your pants? And how much of it is research or from what I did there last time?
That's another – it's a good question too, man. And I think probably I agree with your assessment on why it's difficult for a local angler to win like a multi-day tournament. A one-day tournament, you know, they've got a huge advantage. But I think coming to an area not knowing the lake at all definitely allows you to fish the current conditions. And if you grew up fishing a lake and you know 100, you know, rock piles and brush piles and little key one fish spot, it's really, really hard to not just try to fish all of them in the tournament. And you know, you're sitting there telling yourself, well, 3 years ago, the conditions were exactly like this at this time of year, and I won a local tournament doing this. And you go back to it. And even though the conditions, or, you know, maybe this situation, maybe not even the conditions, but the situation tells you something else. So, yeah, man, I mean, definitely sometimes there's a huge advantage to knowing the lake really well. But when you get the crazy conditions like this, you know, it plays into the hands of the non-locals. It at least gives them a better chance.
Right, right. And I agree with you on the multi-day thing. Anyone can get lucky on any one day. In fact, when I fish tournaments more, I don't fish tournaments these days. I coach more than I fish tournaments.
Yep.
But I despise one-day tournaments because there's too much luck involved. And you're talking to a guy named LaChance, right? I'm supposed to be lucky. But I don't want to rely on that for my fish, you know? So I would way rather have a multi-day tournament, because over a multi-day tournament, your skill set, your ability to learn and adapt will pay dividends, whereas on a one-day tournament, you know, anything's possible. Any one guy could catch one big bag and win, you know, but over a 3 or a 4 day event like you guys fish, I think your events are almost 6 days long total now. A lot's going to change on a fishery, you know, and a lot of it's going to come down to your ability to adapt to what you're dealing with right in front of you, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, hey, with 6 days, if you look at a weather forecast for a week, And when is the weather ever the same every day, other than maybe like San Diego and Phoenix? Like, it's always, you're going to basically over the course of a week see everything from rain to sun and no wind to heavy wind, coming from different directions. So, yeah, man, being able to adapt is really, really critical. And that's what makes it challenging. You know, you might find the winning spot on the lake for one day, but within 3 days, it's toast. I mean, I had a tournament last year at Table Rock, the first day. I mean, I had the area to like the area you dream about. I found it in practice, and I was flipping. The water was flooded. It was high, and I found an area with just a billion fish up in these flooded trees. And the first day of the tournament, I caught 59 bass.
Oh, geez,
it was unbelievable. And if the tournament would have been just like that day, the next day, and maybe actually the day before the tournament started, I would have easily won. But the water started coming down, and by the like 3 or 4 days into this tournament, when we started getting towards the finals, the water had fallen out of these trees, and the fish were dang near impossible to catch. And I ended up finishing in 40th place after being in first the first day. So it just goes to show sometimes you don't make those right adjustments, but man, things can change a lot in a couple of days.
But it also goes to show that you've got to be humble to be a bass pro and not let a bad day get you down, because one of those days, you know, is going to happen to you. I don't care who you are. The biggest names in the sport are going to run into a train wreck. Kevin Van Dam blanked on Table Rock one time during a tournament. And when they asked him what happened, he said he got table rocked. So,
nice.
Yeah. So real quick here, you have a podcast, and I think folks would love to tune into that. Give us in 30 seconds or less, tell us about your podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Chad. So yeah, our podcast is called Angler's Happy Hour. It's relatively new. We've been doing it for about 3 months, but it's more about just the experiences of being in the outdoors. So it's not so much tournament news or anything like that, but the funny things that happen to you, when you're out in the outdoors, traveling to your fishing tournament, traveling to your fishing trip, the stuff that you talk around a campfire. And we have some calling guests, and sometimes it's just the three of us, the three hosts, but we have fun doing it, man. That's the key. We love it.
Yeah, that's good. And I spent a couple days in a boat with you here back in November. We had a great time. Fans of this show can watch some of that on Fishful Thinker Television, both last week and this week, two back-to-back. I appreciate you taking the time to do that. I'd also like to throw out there for people real quick that there's a three-part series on our YouTube channel right now where I spoke with Josh, and we talked very, very candidly. It's about a 35 or 40-minute conversation over the three parts that we talked very candidly about you know, about what it takes to be a bass pro, the behind the scenes stuff and the, you know, what it takes to get into the sport and things like that. I think it'll be eye opening for people. And I do appreciate you taking the time to do that. If a guy wants to follow you, first of all, they can watch live on Major League Fishing during any of the events, majorleaguefishing.com. But also, where are they going to find Josh Bertrand specifically?
Yeah, thanks, Chad. Just Josh_Bertrand Fishing on Facebook and Instagram. I do have a website, Josh Bertrand Fishing, and yeah, watch those episodes of Fishful Thinker. We had a good time. We ribbed each other a little bit, caught some fish, struggled. We went through the whole gamut out there, and it was really fun to fish with you guys. So make sure you guys check that out if you haven't done that yet.
I appreciate that, Josh. With that, we're going to let you get back to your tournament. Best of luck, and keep us posted on everything. Thanks for all your support here on Fishful Thinker. Like I said, folks can check that out on the Fishful Thinker YouTube channel. With that, Josh, good luck, and have fun in your first tournament of the year.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, man. Talk to you guys soon.
All right. Take care. And with that, guys, we have burned up the first segment. We're going to step aside and take a break. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.